Mark chapter 7, if you would. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Just want to read like the first seven verses. And then we're going to go on from there. Mark 7, beginning in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. That was usually a bad sign, okay? And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'm just going to stop right there. Because I want to speak about some things that are actually are important to me. Okay? This is going to be a little personal. And I hope they're important to you, but I know they're important to me. And I was, it was recommended that I might do something like this. Matter of fact, I was challenged by someone who shall remain nameless. Walter. No, we were talking on the phone, and we were talking about doing something like this. Because some of these things I spoke about a little bit last week, and I kind of want to do elaborate on some of them. Because this scripture, Mark 7 and verse 6, is one of the first ones I can remember thinking about in my experience. Because I remember thinking, I know what Christ means here. I can remember thinking, I know what Isaiah thinks here. I really didn't, I don't think. But I thought I did. At least I got part of it. Because what I knew was how it related to me now. I'm not going to go into what Isaiah was, the context. But that's the part I understood. See, we're back to hypocrites again. Hypocrites of today are not any different than they were in Christ's time. And they aren't any different than they were in Isaiah's time. Man has not gotten any better. Matter of fact, there's a couple of scriptures says he's gotten worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And boy, sometimes you hate it when they're right about stuff like that. But it's true. There are those who say they love God, and they do not. There are those who say they love Christ, and they do not. And this is revealed in their words, and it's revealed in their actions. It's revealed in some lifestyles. The words of most people reveal that they don't even know who Christ is.
Yeah.
They pretend, and I use that word because it's a good word. They pretend to honor Christ. And some may even think sincerely they are honoring Christ. Some are just pretending. A lot are just pretending. But it doesn't work. They pretend to honor him with their words. The reason it doesn't work is because of what they say. Because they're using their lips to speak. And they speak of a love for Christ. They speak of working for Christ. Doing a good work for the Lord. They speak of honoring the Son of the Father, but when they open their lips, they speak against him and they speak against his work. I listened to that podcast last night. I talked to you about Walter that I was searching around on iTunes because it's something we're considering doing here. But I think in order to do it, we actually would have to have a server or server space to put it on and then, you know, reference it back and forth. And I have no idea to the cost or anything. I don't think iTunes charges anything for it. But you do have to have that and the phone line and all the other stuff, which you already sort of have on the website. We may be able to link to that. I don't know. But it's just a way of possibly getting the gospel out there just a little bit. Because what I downloaded was called, oh, Lord, what was it exactly? It's something to do with Bible study podcast. And it was a question and answer session. And somebody wrote in a question, wanted to know if we have free will or are we just bound by the will of God? Okay. Well, and this guy, the guy who wrote the question was leaning toward the fact that, okay, we're overruled by the will of God, which I can kind of understand his point. Okay. But the fellow who answered the question said, no, I believe in free will. He's from the Dallas, he was taught at the Dallas Theological Seminary. Yeah. Okay. But he said, you know, no, we have to have a free will. Because, and the basic gist of his whole argument, his answer to this question is, if we don't have a free will, that means we don't have a will. Now, I don't understand that, okay? And he gave us an example, the scripture, instead of saying it's God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, that all should come, he was reading another version, and it said, God is long-suffering to you. Which changes the context, because that means, oh, is that for everybody who wrote it, reads it? Paul wrote, he's long-suffering to usward, believers, the elect, the children of God, and God is long-suffering to usward. But anyhow, that was his whole point, though, was that without free will, there's nothing left but the will of God. And don't want to deal with anything to do with, you know, it's not of the will of man, you know, there's none that seeketh after God, and anyhow. But I thought that was just the strangest definition of, it's either free will or nothing. And I don't know what the guy, you know, that guy's point was, but anyhow. But that's what's out there right now. I mean, I listened to it last night, I just downloaded. They pretend to honor Christ with their words, but it doesn't work. They speak against his work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they speak against him when they open their mouths. Now, what they say, and I've heard this, they will say that they love Christ. And don't you love him too? Then they'll say, he's done all he can do, and now it's up to you. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie. They'll say that Christ is a great teacher, but then they won't teach what Christ taught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they won't follow what Christ taught. They'll make up songs, really bad songs, and call them hymns. And there won't be any truth in any of them. What they do, and this is what I was getting to, what they do is they play church. That's what I call it, playing church. They do not worship God in spirit or in truth. And I did write it down here, capital T-R-U-T-H, truth with a capital T. And my computer tries to change it sometimes. That's a misspelling. No, it's not. Don't worry about it, you know. I can hit add and it'll keep it in there, something like that. But I put that in there because there is truth with a capital T, and there is truth with a small t. This is one of the things I told Walter about this on the phone yesterday. I read a book probably about 30 years ago, and the protagonist in the story, the hero, is being bothered by this other guy in the story who's telling him that you need to know the truth, and they did a capital T in where he said it. And the guy said, wait a minute. He says, I can hear that capital T on the word truth in the way you're talking. And of course they get into an argument, and he just about berates the poor guy that said with a capital T that, you know, there is no such thing as a capital T truth. You know, truth changes, truth is mutable, truth is never the same. And it reminds me of what Pontius Pilate said, what is truth?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the truth about me, I use a little T. Okay? Okay. Some years ago, I could say I am a thin person. I can't say that now. That's kind of changed. Don't tell anybody. Okay? I could say 30 years ago, I am young. I don't say that now. I'll still say I'm an idiot sometimes, because that part is true. But anyhow, the truth of God, the truth of the Holy Spirit, and the truth of Christ never changes.
Right.
And you can put that capital T right there. God said, "What I am God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. He is the way, the truth, and it's a capital T there.
Yeah.
And that's where it belongs and nowhere else. But anyhow, that's just something that hit me when I was typing this up and my computer decided to change my punctuation or spelling. There are some who play church who give lip service to this fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then they'll turn right around and say how God saved people in the Old Testament by the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lie. There's only one, I don't know if I'm going to use the word method of salvation. There's only one man of salvation. It's Jesus Christ. They still got that sign down the road there. Is what you believe in, can it save you? What you believe can never save you. Who you believe can save you. If it's Jesus Christ with a capital T for the truth. That's the truth of the scriptures, and that's the part that is important to me, is that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That was before the law. God's always saved people by grace. That's important to me. But I do have one thing to say about playing church. I hate it. Okay? You know? I mean, if you want to get down to where you talk about something with a holy hatred, okay, I could get close with this. I hate playing church. I can't stand it. And I will not stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm serious as I can be. I will get up and walk out of it. I have done it before. And it's not hard to do. Sure, people look at you, but then that doesn't matter because I'm not going back anyhow. I mean, seriously, I will get up and walk out of it if I find myself in that mess. I'll stay home and sulk if that's the best I can do, rather than play church.
Yeah.
I'll stay home and fuss, which is a lot easier, rather than go. I can put up with a lot of things, but I can't put up with heresy, blasphemy, or lies about God,
yeah.
And I refuse to. Like I said, this is about me, personally. I can put up with a lot of things if the truth is preached.
Sure.
You know? But not if it's play church. Because this came to me all together at once some years ago. And this is one reason why I'm bringing this back. Because it actually came to me at the death of my mother. Okay? I said a little bit about this last week, but I did want to elaborate on this. I realized I had had all this in me before, but this is just kind of where everything came together and it just kind of hits you right between the eyes, you know, and you just say, oh, okay, I get this now. Because this was this was a defining moment in my life where I put this all together. My mother had died, and I was there when she died, as was most of the family that was, you know, at least the ones that were local. She died at home listening to Amazing Grace playing on the bagpipes, which when I told Earl that, Earl said, that's not a bad way to go. Of course, everybody knows, if you do know, Earl really liked bagpipes. And so does my wife. So, and I don't mind them. I do like some of it. But anyway, a day or two later, while I was down at the house, they were going through the arrangements for the funeral, which actually in Catholicism, what you do is you say a mass for the dead. You have a mass. It's just basically just a Catholic service, just the same as on Sunday, but it's dedicated to the person who died. And in this case, it was her funeral service, so her casket was there. Sometimes you can have it done like if somebody dies in a foreign land, you can have your priest here say a mass for them, and they'll dedicate that mass to them. It does them absolutely no good, but they'll do it, you know. And it used to be for a nominal fee. I don't know if it still is or not, but that's the way it used to be done in the old days. Now, but there was going to be a mass for her funeral on Saturday. And the family was going to participate in the mass. My sister came to me. One of my brothers was going to read something. And it's as there are two or three readings during the mass service. And it is certain set scriptures that they read. And I think actually they have a guide somewhere. You know, they put out. They have a little booklet that you get at church. And it has the scripture reading. So that way you don't have to bring your Bible. Because this is all they're going to read, you know. They're going to read one from the Old Testament, I think, one from the Gospels, and one from the Epistles. And then you read it at certain portions, the exact same time, every Sunday, you know, during every Mass, during every day, I guess, if you do Masses every day. You read this little portion, this little portion, this little portion. And it changes. But once you've been in it, you know, 20, 30 years, you know, when I was there 23 years and paying attention a little bit the last five, every year on the same day, you'll read the same scripture. So they've got their little cycle, and that's it. I mean, as far as scripture reading in the Catholic Church, that's it. They may change a little bit for special occasions, you know, or somebody gets a wild hair. I have no idea. But generally, for the most part, they read the same scripture this year, today. In 2009, they'll be reading that same scripture again.
Right.
All three pieces. Okay? So my brother was going to read one. My sister was going to read another. And they asked me if I wanted to read one. My sisters asked me to do one of these readings. And to be honest, seriously, I was shocked. I was just, for a moment, speechless. And because it's like, why in the world is she asking me this? And of course I said, probably rather quickly, no. It had never even occurred to me, seriously, to participate in any way, shape, or form in any mass or funeral, even my mother's funeral. I mean, seriously, it just hadn't even dawned on my mind. And that's when it hit me. See, this was a way that I could play church with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm serious, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. We were going to play church. And if this was a movie, I would have said, okay, and been brought back into the fold and all this other stuff, you know. Didn't work out. For them, it worked out great for me, okay? It's just one of them points where it hits you right in the head. They have no idea what is within me. Okay, what actually makes up me personally at that time. they really don't realize how I feel about the whole Catholic system. And most other religious systems too. You know, throw Lutherans in there, Methodists, Presbyterians, most Baptists,
yeah.
You know, and forget about Mormonism and Seventh-day Adventists. I don't even want to talk about them. I might do a lot of things. I might be, actually I am capable of sinning so evilly that everyone I know would be totally shocked at what I am capable of doing. I might someday go completely insane with Alzheimer's at some time. But by the grace of God and my Lord Jesus Christ, I wrote this down. I will not play church for anybody at any time. I mean, I might do a lot of things, and by God's grace, I pray I never play church for anybody. Now, this may come back to bite me. Okay? This may come back to haunt me. I hope not. But anyhow, I mean, seriously, they repeated the offer. You could even read the part from the gospel. You know, that would be, you know, those would be the words of Jesus from the Vaticanus or the Sinaitis, Walter. So it might be most of them anyway. But you could even read from the gospel. That's in the Bible. And I just looked at my sister, and it's just like, no. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand at all. I mean, this hit home. Because this is, you know, my brothers and sisters, my father. I mean, this is my kinsman according to the flesh, close kinsman. And what they didn't know is that I was separate from them.
Right.
And then I realized, of course, that they really can't know. I went to the funeral, the mass, like I said, and I sat in the pew in the front with my family. I sat right next to them. But I was even separate there. The scripture readings didn't even perk me up because those reading them, my brothers and sisters, didn't believe them. And I really, really didn't want to be there. I'd rather have been at home sulking. You know, or fussing more likely. But I did. I sat in the pew with the family. And after about 5 minutes, I was so bored with that ritual because that's what it was. They were doing the exact same thing they did when I left that place 15 years ago. And the same thing that they had done for the first 23 I was there. Nothing had changed. The priest went, the procession started, the priest went through the ritual and the entrance, and you get this, I get this thought in my head, there's just no light here at all. There's nothing here. There's no truth, no light, no nothing. I didn't even stand up and sit down when they do all that stuff. We just sat there. Deb was with me. She didn't get up and sit down or anything. You know, no kneeling. We just sat through the service. They went up for the communion, and they looked at me, and I waved at them or something. You know, I'm like, I'm not going up there. See, because this brought my little brother back to the church. My mother died. For a while. And he moved to Louisiana. I don't know what the world he's doing now, and I don't really want to know. Because we don't get along real well anyway on a good day. Now, I could have stood up, sit down, kneeled. I could have gone up there and took that cookie. And gone home. Because meat offered to an idol is just an idol. I mean, it's just meat. That's all it is. That wafer is just a piece of, I don't even know what it is. Okay, it's like Rice Krispies or something. You know, it's not even like bread. I mean, it's really thin, almost like a really thin piece of croissant with no flavor. Okay, that's what the texture is. One of these days, I'm going to buy those things and bring them. But I never, I found out the other day they're like $17. Man, that's a bit much to pay for a joke. You know, I was going to do it to Earl one year. I wished I had before he died. Just slip him on the plate and lay him up here for him. I'd have to use a paper plate, though, because he might be tempted to fling it at me. But this, you know, kneeling, I'm just not playing. I'm sorry. It's just all it was to it. Because I know that this is the religious ceremony of the Catholic Church. And supposed to mean something to these people. I don't really think it does, to be honest. You know, it's just what you do. And I could have done it, and we could have been one big happy family. And that's really what I was supposed to do. You know, I was supposed to do that. My little brother did it for me, so I didn't have to. But that hit home that day at my mom's funeral. Now, I did turn around, and I was heartened when I saw Walter and Paul sitting there in the back there. I didn't know they was there. I did. But it did make me heartened. Then some fool played Amazing Grace on a set of bagpipes. And I call him a fool because he was wearing a kilt, and it was 0 degrees. And he wore that thing walking out the door without a coat. And he played very well. He did. And he walked out. But my mom wouldn't have minded if he wore pants. She wouldn't have cared. We went over to the hall they have at the Catholic Church here in Princeton. We had some food. I went back to Peterstown and promptly came down with the flu. What a great ending. Yeah, I know. I was being punished. But no. And I haven't been in a Catholic church since. But I haven't been in many Baptist churches since we left New Zion, right. Regular Baptist church.
Right.
And the only one that I have been in is where Scott and Earl preached down there, under Henry Mahan's, the truth is preached. Went to that one at PAX. I don't even remember what kind of place that was, but the truth was preached those 3 days. And you look out the back window and you can see the statue of Mary in the garden. But the truth was preached those 3 days. Henry preached, and Earl preached. And by golly, it was preached. And that was a strange thing, you know. I mean, it really was. Because that was the weirdest place I ever been in and heard the truth preached. That's no lie. Ten Commandments was on the front of the pulpit, on the wall. Yeah, it was a crucifix on the front of the pulpit, and a statue of Mary out the back window. But Earl got up there and he preached, and then Henry got up there and he preached, and I remember that third day, he said, then you won't need that. Stick that thing on the front of your pulpit. Pointed right dead at it, and I almost died. They weren't playing church. Henry and Earl were not. I don't know about the other people that were there. We had a good time. Scott kind of got spooked a little bit, I think. Scott Richardson. But I'm not going to go into that because it's time to quit. But I haven't been in many Baptist churches. I don't go into Lutherans or Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists. I drive past them as fast as I can. It's whatever the speed limit allows. Now, the reason why I don't go, and I'm glad you asked that question, those people, the vast majority, They honor God with their lips.
Yeah. Right.
But their heart is far from Him.
Right.
They play church. That's what it is. And it may be as serious as a heart attack game of church.
Sure.
But they're still playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to play church. Ever. Excuse me. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again to be here in this place.